Remain standing as we read John chapter 20 for next 4 weeks or so. We're going to concentrate on John chapter 20 verse 19 through 23. We're going to see those verses in connection to the whole chapter. So today, let us read from verse 1 all the way to 23. This is the reading of God's Word. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, bless the preaching of your word. And bless your people who are hearing of your word. Yes, it is only through your word only by your word that we are able to be like your son. And without your word, we will be in darkness, blind person, in dark. But Father, we thank you that through your word, you have shined the glory of heaven, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ to us, that we may know, that we may understand, that we may believe. Oh Father, feed us with the heavenly manna, that we may be satisfied as we see what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 20 is a story about the very first Easter, the very first day of the new creation. John 20 is about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The question that we're going to think about for next 4 weeks or so is this: what is the meaning of his resurrection for us? For next few weeks, we will look at John 20 and seek the answer for that question. And starting the second or third Sunday of August, we will begin looking at the book of Matthew, which I'm currently preparing. There's a lot to do before we could begin. So we'll do that in August. When we read John 20 together with the Synoptic Gospels, we read that very early on the first day of the week, meaning the Sunday, or as we say, on the Lord's Day, a few women with some spices to anoint Jesus went to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And they saw the stone, which was blocking the doorway of the tomb, already taken away from the tomb. And Jesus was not there. Mary ran and came to Simon Peter and John and said to them, verse 2, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." At this, Peter and John went to the tomb running together. John arrives at the tomb ahead of Peter and stooped and looked in. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. When Peter arrived, he did enter the tomb. In verse 6 and 7, he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now John entered also, in verse 8b, and he saw and believed. But they did not really understand what had happened. Even as they see this empty tomb, Peter and John did not really understand. Verse 9, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So Peter and John went away again to their own homes." But Mary could not go home. She stood outside the tomb. She stood there crying. As you know, she was forgiven of many sins. Her love for Jesus is great. She needs Jesus Christ. Jesus is her only refuge. And she does not know what to do. So she cries. She must find Jesus. This Mary, even though she does not understand that well, by grace of our God, she knows deep inside of her heart, she knows that she must meet Jesus again. Fellowship with Jesus Christ is the center of her life. Everything is right because of that fellowship. And now, without Christ, all is meaningless. All is purposeless. She must meet Jesus again. But she still does not understand. She is looking for dead Jesus, his dead body. What could dead Jesus do for her? Can dead Jesus be her Savior? But Mary has already tasted the joy of salvation. She already has tasted how sweet the fellowship with her Lord Jesus Christ. She doesn't understand, and yet there is nothing she could do but to look for Jesus Christ. Even though she is not sure what she must do, even though she does not fully understand, only thing she could do is look for Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know this thirst and this hunger for Jesus Christ? Like a deer pants for the water brooks, does your heart pant for Jesus Christ? Do you know this desperate search for Jesus Christ? For without Him, all is meaningless, purposeless. Do you know this desire for Jesus? This desire that is stronger than the desire for life itself. Do you know? Not able to have fellowship with Jesus means death itself. Do you understand this? For Mary, life apart from Jesus has no meaning. And even though she doesn't really understand what is happening, only thing she could do is look for Christ. How about you? Who is Jesus to you? How much you think you need Him? What is Jesus to you? Why do you seek Him? Mary is crying. Even though Jesus Christ, her Lord, that she loves dearly, has been resurrected from the dead, she is crying. She should be joyful, celebrating, but instead she is crying. Even though she has no reason whatsoever to cry because Jesus is alive, but she is crying. She is crying because she does not know the truth. She is crying because she does not understand the truth. How about you? For us who are loved by God, there is no despair, sorrow and grief, affliction, hardship and distress. Even death cannot take away this joy that Christ has given to us. Jesus Christ has already ahead of us entered that grief and death and came out of them triumphantly. He has changed the grief and death. Even though we do experience these things in our lives, He has changed the grief and death into eternal life of joy. This is what we confess to believe. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, come and see the empty tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. With Mary, let us look in. Verse 11b and 12, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And according to Matthew 28, the appearance of the angel was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. What do you see? The glory and the light of heaven is now shining in the tomb. Do you see it? See how Jesus Christ, by entering and experiencing death himself ahead of us, by putting to death the death itself, see how he has changed the cold and stinking tomb. And when we read verse 12, what does it remind us of? These two angels sitting, one at the head, one the other at the feet. What is that remind of us of? Two cherubim. Two angels on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. In the Holy of Holies. That which was symbolizing the throne of God in heaven is now seen inside of the tomb. Do you see how the tomb that is stinking with the smell of death has changed into the gate of heaven? The tomb of death is for us now the gate of our eternal home. To us believers, the tomb is now the gate of heaven. It is where our Lord Jesus Christ gathers his people into his kingdom. Death no longer reigns over us. Death is not something that we should be afraid of. For us, to live is Christ and to die is gain. be buried in tomb means that we have entered that glorious place. Yes, apart from Christ, the tomb is most miserable place. Oh yes, we should be very afraid of apart from Christ. But not for you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that the same power of God that raised Christ from the dead is now in us, working in us. Thus we join Paul in saying, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Do you see the glory beyond the tomb? Do you see it? The glory beyond the death. On that glorious day when our Lord returns, our dead bodies will resurrect to that glorious bodies. But spiritually, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that resurrection is already our present reality. That is why, even now, you are able to enter heaven to worship God. Because spiritually, we have already resurrected with Christ. But for Mary, even this glorious sight inside of the tomb cannot give her joy. Maybe she does not fully understand what she is looking at, but for her, Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, cannot be found still, even in that glorious sight. Nothing else but the sight of the Lord Jesus can give Mary the true happiness and true joy. Same with us. Heaven without Jesus is no heaven at all to Mary and to us. Glory without Jesus is dull indeed. Not what He gives to us, but He Himself is our true joy. Verse 15, Jesus appears to her and asks her, Woman, why are you weeping? I am resurrected, Mary. Of course, if I am still dead, then you have every reason to cry, but I am resurrected from the dead. Why are you weeping? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you crying in your lives? Are you crying standing because you just don't know what to do? Are you crying? Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, has resurrected from the dead to perfectly, completely accomplish your eternal life of heaven forever. All your sorrow will end. All your grief will end. Revelation 21 verse 3 and 4, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Remember, brothers and sisters, that life that we read in Revelation, that same life has already begun in our lives. you have been saved from all these things. Just like Mary, are you crying because you just don't understand? Just like Mary, are you crying because you just don't get it? There's no joy and no satisfaction in your hearts because you do not know the truth. You just don't get what Christ has accomplished for you. Is that why you find yourself crying? Because you will say to me that this Mary crying right here, there's no need for it. You will say that to me. Because Jesus has resurrected from the dead. I wonder how many of us and how many times in our lives that we look like her. No matter what happens in our lives, we have every reason to rejoice. That's why I cannot feel sorry for any of you. I don't care what you are going through. You might say, oh, you just don't get it. You just don't understand. You don't know how painful my life is. Yes, all that is true. But because of Christ, because that He has accomplished our heavenly life, you still don't have any reason to cry. Because all that suffering, all that pain is temporary. It's not forever. But the joy that Christ has accomplished is forever. The first things have passed away. The pain and the sorrow and grief that connected to this first creation has passed away as far as we're concerned. This is what we believe. This is our faith. We cannot just cry as if what Christ has accomplished for us is lacking. We cannot just weep as if what Christ has done is not perfect for us. Why are you weeping? The two angels ask Mary. Mary says to them, because they have taken away my Lord. My Lord, she says, even angels in heaven cannot call Jesus by this. My Lord, she says. She does not fully understand. She is just like us, or we are just like her. Yes. We stand crying because we just don't know. Because we're so lazy in finding out the truth. We stand crying just like Mary. But I want you to see the grace of God here. That Jesus Christ does not leave her weeping. He comes to her. And if we read verse 19, we see Jesus coming to his disciples who were afraid. He comes to shine the light, to shine the glory of heaven to this dark world. Verse 1 says, it was still dark when they went to the tomb. Verse 19 says, it was evening when disciples gathered. These expressions, they do not just describe the physical surroundings. They also describe the spiritual reality. Mary and disciples, they do not understand. You and me also do not understand. We do not know. Jeremiah describes this darkness in this way. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. The same description of the earth before God says, let there be light, in the book of Genesis. Yes, brothers and sisters, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the same picture. Our Lord Jesus Christ came as the light to this dark world. Chapter 1, verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What does the darkness do not comprehend? What is that the darkness do not know? It's Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for His people. The world doesn't want to know. John chapter 3 verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. But you are not like that. You are different. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You have, by the grace of God, you have believed that light and became the children of that light. John 14 verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In our chapter, you are witnessing that that day has come. Jesus has resurrected from the dead for you and for me, for us, now and forever, for us. It is never still dark. For us, it is never the evening. Understand, brothers and sisters, we are gathered in that glory. Never dark. Because Christ has resurrected from the dead. The Son of Heaven has risen. In Revelation 22 verse 5, and there will no longer be any night. Yes, the new creation has begun. Colossians 1:13 describes our salvation this way, for He has rescued us from the domain of darkness. The first creation, Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and He breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. And what you are witnessing in chapter 20 of John is the new creation. John chapter 20 verse 22, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have received the Holy Spirit. You have been recreated. in the image of your Lord Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost in Acts 2, do you see the new creation of Christ's church? Today is the Lord's day. Today is the day on which our Lord was resurrected. That's why we gathered to worship Him. And I want you to understand that He is with us, or rather we are with Him. And verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. With that, everything is changed for Mary. From despair because Jesus was not with her, to complete joy and satisfaction because Jesus is with her. Brothers and sisters, it is not a time for crying. We just cannot be sad because Jesus is with us now and forever. He says to Mary, Mary, what other words is necessary? God is calling. And John chapter 10 says, and the sheep hears His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. My sheep hears My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Do you hear Him calling your name? Mary. And Mary says to Him, Rabboni, teacher. Yes, Jesus is our teacher. He came to Mary to teach her the truth. Show her the truth itself. Meaning, show her Himself. He came to you, calling your name as your Rabboni. Do you see that reality right now, even as you worship Him? You and I also are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ who is resurrected. Do you understand? You don't get it. That's why you fall asleep during sermon. You just don't get it. Or you refuse to understand. Do you understand what is really happening? Or are we just crazy? Talking nonsense. Oh, there's nothing more I want from this church. To understand. And believe the truth. Then I know you will be happy. Really, it doesn't matter what happens in your world, in your life. Once you get this, you will be happy. You and I, we are meeting our Lord Jesus Christ who is resurrected from the dead, even now. He comes to you calling your name. Through the Word of God, you also witness the empty tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what will you do? There are many examples we see, right? After they saw the empty tomb, these people do something. What will you do when you saw the empty tomb through the Word of God? You want to be like the disciples? Verse 10, so the disciples went away again to their home. As if nothing has happened. As if nothing has been changed. As if what happened has no meaning to them. As if what happened is not important to them. They went home. After you hear what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you, after you hear from the Word what happened to Jesus Christ, will you just go home? As if what you heard, what you witnessed through the Word is nothing to you? Well, we understand that they went home as if nothing has happened because they didn't understand it. How about you? Do you understand it? As if what happened did not change anything. Or did it change everything? Or you want to be like Mary, crying because she does not understand the truth. Because of so many sufferings and difficult times that you are going through, will you be like Mary crying because you really don't know what has happened to you? Or if we read further, Jesus says to Mary, "Stop clinging to me. Fellowship with Jesus Christ is no longer this worldly. Some want Jesus to be the earthly king. Here, this world, that's all their focus. Jesus Christ Himself has taught you the truth. He's your Rabboni. How can we not praise Him? How can we not give Him all the glory? How can we not give Him thanksgiving? How can we not be joyous? How can we not worship Him? If we understand. How can we fall asleep during the worship, if we truly understand what is worship? Oh, I slept late yesterday. Well, sleep early next Saturday. Because this is your purpose. Worshipping your God. And 6 days are preparation for this day, brothers and sisters. The world is completely opposite. This day is preparation for Monday because you need to rest so that you could work Monday. Not you, brothers and sisters in Christ. You prepare yourself 6 days for this day. You prepare all your life for heaven, which this worship represents. If worshiping God is boring to you, then heaven will be boring to you. Can you even picture yourself sleeping in heaven? There's no night. Stop. Spiritually, you are meeting at this very moment your resurrected Lord and God Jesus Christ, and having wonderful fellowship of heaven with Him. The heaven has begun. The kingdom of God has begun. The perfect salvation of heaven has been accomplished. That is already our present reality. This is the meaning of His resurrection. The dawn of the new age has begun. It's a bright, sunny day in heaven. We'll look further next Lord's Day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is amazing grace. But Father, by Your grace, by Your power, work in us, that we may know and understand and believe the truth. And that truth will dominate our lives. And our focus will be on Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.